Turn with me today to Genesis chapter 2. We're continuing a series that I started last week called Spirit, Soul, and Body. This is an old teaching that we've done for years. We're coming back to basics. Sometimes we just need to go back and look at the basics again. How many like hamburgers? Anybody like hamburgers? How many of you ever had more than one? Anybody like apple pie? My mom makes the meanest apple crumb pie. I have several pieces every year. I don't want to just have something one time. If it's good one time, it may be good two times, three times, four times, five times. And are we going to have apple crumb this year for Thanksgiving? Oh, yes. Glory be. We're going to have apple crumb pie for Thanksgiving this year. So something that's good, we need to have it more than once. And we can always learn by hearing something again. There's one thing about the Bible. How many of you know that the Bible is really not a boring book? It's not boring. But there's different levels of understanding the Scripture. It's kind of like peeling an onion. And you have to peel off layer after layer after layer after layer. And eventually, I mean, you get every layer is good, but every layer has something different, maybe that you haven't seen or understood before. We're talking about spirit, soul, and body. We're talking about the makeup of man. I'm talking about you, what you're made of. And we discovered last week, we entitled last week, Putting First Things First. And we found out that we are spirit, we have a soul, we live in a body. Every one of you are that way. You know, you normally, in everyday life, do not think of yourself as being a spirit being. You think of yourself as being a natural being, something that you can put your hands on. This is just the suit that you live in while you're here. You're not going to be in this suit forever. You're going to have a glorified body. I'm hoping my glorified body doesn't have gray hair, and I don't believe it will. I think I'm going to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Slim and trim and good looking. I've already got the good looking down. No. Anyway, and I'll be more humble then than I am now. Okay? I'm working on that. But it'll be different than the one that we have. But you're not a body. You have a body. You're not a soul. You have a soul. You're a spirit. You live in a body, and you have a soul. And if we look at something in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says this, "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." And it says three things here. It talks about, number one, it talks about his body being made from the dust of the ground, God breathing into him breath. You know what another word for spirit is? In the literal Greek and Hebrew, it is the word breath. It's the word breath. God breathed into him the breath of life, which is his spirit, and not God's spirit, our spirit, and man became a living soul. Here's what happened. God formed the earth, the body out of the dirt of the ground. And that's what you are. Your body is made from dirt. And when you die, it goes back to dirt. Okay, that's your body. He breathes into him his spirit. When the spirit meets the dirt or the flesh, it creates the soul. We found out last week that with the spirit, every part of our being has a specific design. With our spirit, we know God. You don't know God with your body. You can't touch God. You can't smell God. You can't feel God with your... You can't do any of those. None of the five physical senses can you contact God. Say, yeah, but I get a goosey bump every now and then. Well, you can see a scary movie and get a goosey bump. That has to do with more with an emotion. You can't feel God. You can't know God with your body. You can't know God with your mind. You can't know Him with your soul. You only know Him with your spirit. That's the only way you can know God. So with the spirit, we have God consciousness. With the soul, we have self-consciousness. With the body, we have world consciousness. See, I said this last week. Randy's going to quit. If I keep picking on him, he's going to move back probably. As long as he don't quit coming. I don't care where he sits. But I look at Randy, and I know that's Randy because I see his body. You know what? I have never seen his spirit. I don't even know if he has a brain. Yeah, he does. I've never seen his brain. I've never seen his soul. I know his personality, and I've come in contact with that. But I know him initially by, I recognize him by his body. And I say, well, that's Randy. Now, as I get to know him, I get to know his heart. I get to know other aspects about him. But with the body, we contact the world, world consciousness. With the soul, we have self-consciousness. In fact, if you look here in Genesis chapter 2, man did not come into self-consciousness until he became a living soul. God breathed his spirit into his body, and he became conscious of self, self-consciousness. You know, let me illustrate it this way. Did you hear that? How many of you heard that? Anybody hear that? I'm talking to somebody. I'm talking to several people. How many of you heard that? I'm doing it in my mind. Now, if I say, hi, Miranda. Hi, David. Hi, Wanda. You can hear that. But when I talk with my mind, you can't hear that unless you have ESPN. Then we need to cast the devil out of you. But the mind has to do with self-consciousness. You talk to yourself through your thoughts. Did you know that? You're self-conscious. You think thought. Aren't you glad that people can't read your mind? I'm so glad you can't read my mind right now. But that's self-consciousness. We talk to ourselves through our mind. Now, I can talk to myself with my voice, but I talk to myself all the time through my thoughts, the things that I think. That's self-consciousness. So that's the part of man. Now, you say, well, what does all of this matter? As we begin to understand the way that we are made, we're going to begin to understand how that we ought to function as Christians. You're going to see yourself more than just a physical being, more than just an intellectual being, but you are a spiritual being. And let me say this about the spirit of man. Once we are conceived in our mother's womb, we will never die. The spiritual part of us is eternal. Every one of us will live eternally. You never die. The question is, where are you going to live eternally? Because you never die. Your body dies and goes back to the dust. But your spirit man never dies. And this is why human life is such for two reasons. It's such a valuable thing, because human life never ends. And we are made in the likeness and the image of God. And that's why the Bible says that it's wrong to murder. It's wrong to murder. And this is one of the reasons that I believe that it's wrong to murder unborn babies. Because we believe that life begins with conception. But that, I'm not trying to be political. I'm just stating this, that every person that's ever been conceived has a purpose. They are designed by God. The Bible talks about God knowing us in our mother's womb. It talks about God giving us our spirit and forming our spirit. And all of that has to do with purpose. So when we begin to monkey with unborn life and begin to end unborn life, we are meddling with the purposes of God. See, the eternal spirit of man will live forever. And every man that is born for a purpose that God has for us. Now, not every man fulfills the purpose, but every one of us is born with a purpose. And that begins in our spirit man, your spiritual man. And this is why it's so important that as we put first things first, that we have to get the spirit right with God. What is it that's born again? We asked and answered this last week. What is it that's born again? It's not your body that's born again. It's not your mind that's born again. It's your spirit that's born again. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. Wow. When Adam sinned against God, he died in his spirit. Do you know what the Bible equates spiritual death as? Darkness. Darkness. Who was it? Hank Williams that wrote the song? I saw the light. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Did you know Hank Williams wrote that? Yeah, he did. He wrote that. Well, what is that talking about? I saw the light. I saw the light. See, there's light and there's darkness. And this is spirit talk. Before you're born again, you're full of darkness. Our spirit has been given to us, and we're going to talk about this today, the purpose of the human spirit. Nathan, get ready. We're going to do a little experiment here. Don't nobody move. Okay? I want you to get me down to one light in here. But it talks about light and darkness. Ooh. Our spirit man has been given to us to guide us. Okay? How are we guided in life? By our spirit. You better turn that one off up there too. I want to get it as dark in here as I can get it. We're going to spring it on you all of a sudden. But when Adam died spiritually, his spirit was thrust into darkness. Can you turn the overhead off? It's off. All right, turn. Let's get completely black in here now. Shut the door, Kevin. Leave it to Kevin to let the light in. Now, we can't get it completely dark in here. But when the Bible talks about spiritual death, this is what it's talking about. How could you live your life being guided by something that's dead or in darkness? The Bible says that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. What happens when we get born again, when we get saved, and this says this in Psalms, that God will light my candle. All right? Let's come back on slow. We don't want to blind anybody. Okay. What happens, and I wish I'd have brought a little lighter here and I'd just flick my Bic. He gives us the light in our spirit so that we can know how to direct our lives. You can't expect a person who is in darkness to know where to go. You can't expect them to make decisions because they cannot see. What if when I had the lights completely out, if I could got it dark in here, it says, okay, I want everybody in here to change places. What would have happened? We would have been in chaos, wouldn't we? We would have heard screaming. Because people would be falling over each other. This is the way that the world lives. They live in chaos. They live in darkness. Why? Because their spirits are not alive. It's Psalms 18:28. For you will light my lamp. the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. That happens when you get saved. You have the ability to see. You have the ability to perceive and to understand. And this is why, as we teach on spirit, soul, and body, that we need to start with the spirit, because if we're talking to people who are in darkness, they can't see, they can't understand. The Bible says that the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are, they're crazy to him. He cannot see or perceive to understand. Why? Because his spirit is in darkness. Now, thank God, the Bible says that the Word of God is the light. His Word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. When God's Word shines to us, we can see. And the very first thing that we can see to do is to make the right choice about choosing Jesus as Lord. When we make Jesus Lord, then He lights our candle. Andrew Womack says this, understanding spirit, soul, and body is critically important to every believer. It's like the key that opens the treasure chest of God's grace. It will be a matter of life and death, and it's the foundation to understanding the rest of the Scripture. If you don't know that you're a spiritual being, there's a lot of things that you're going to miss. But when you begin to understand that you are a spirit, and you can be guided by more than just your body, your five physical senses, and your reasoning and logic and own understanding. Listen, if we had to live by brain power only, some of us would be in trouble. What if you'd burned your brain out on drugs or alcohol? What if you were not educated? What if you were not taught correctly about certain things? Now thank God for our minds. Our brains are incredible things that God has given us. But God has given us our brains that we can fill it with the Word of God so that our spirit can work like it's supposed to. See, what we want to do is get everything working together in harmony so that we'll not live by the flesh, so that we can live above our logic and our reason and all of that. And there is another dimension to us that can guide our lives. See, the Bible says that for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. God doesn't lead you through your body. He doesn't lead you through your mind. He leads you through your spirit. And it's so important that we guard our spiritual being. The Bible says that above all that we guard, guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. Whatever is in your heart in abundance is what's going to guide your life. Whatever you put on the inside of you will become the guiding principle of your life. If you've lived after the flesh, guess what? Your mind is full of the flesh. And your flesh is going to guide you. How many of you know that you'll get in trouble if you always follow your flesh? If it feels good, do it. That'll get you in trouble, won't it? If you acted out every impulse of the flesh, you wouldn't eat a piece of pie, you'd eat the whole pie. You wouldn't kiss one girl, you'd kiss all the pretty girls. Okay? Or the guys. No, we're not supposed to live after the flesh, are we? If you make decisions just based on the flesh, most of the time you're going to make the wrong decision. That girl looks good. She ought to be my wife. She may be hell on wheels. That guy is so fine. He may be a deceiver. He may be telling you what you want to hear. If it's all about the appeal of the flesh or the logic of the mind, guess what? We can mess up. And most of us have testimonies of how we have followed unsound reason and logic and the dictates of the flesh and screwed our lives up royally. We could have a testimony service, but we shall not, of how we've messed up. Okay? So what do we need to do? We need to get our spirit right with God, because it becomes the compass of our life. It becomes the guiding and the deciding factor of our life. It should become the greatest influencer that you have in your life. So that's why we need to talk about spirit today. Now, there's several things that we want to cover today. Today is called the function of the spirit. What is the function of the spirit? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says this, verse 23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly," wholly, your whole man. "And I pray God that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So if we're going to function the way that we should, we need to be set apart. And the word sanctify means to set apart. We need to be set apart, our whole man, our spirit, soul, and body. Now, there's a fellow a few years ago that would teach this. Because how many of you know that there's all kinds of squirrely teachers out there? And he says, "You know what? I'm right in my spirit and I sin in my flesh. And it's okay because I'm right in my spirit, but I sure enjoy the flesh." I mean, this was a preacher. He'd sat on the front of the TV camera, and he had a leather jacket on and a cap on, and he'd smoke cigars, big long cigars, and he'd cuss. And his theme song was the Pissant song. He said, "Did he say the P word in church?" He did. Well, that's what it was called. And he said, "Listen, I enjoy my sin, but I'm right in my spirit. And I don't sin out of my spirit. I sin out of my flesh." Listen. You can't compartmentalize stuff like that. God wants us to be sanctified wholly. Spirit, soul, and body. He wants it to work in harmony, in unity. He wants our spirit man to keep the rest of it in check. Because if you live after the flesh, you're going to be in trouble. The flesh will kill you. Okay. So we need to understand that. Okay. There's a great illustration of spirit, soul, and body in the tabernacle. And I want to look at this real quick. There are three compartments of the tabernacle. There's the Holy of Holies, there's the holy place, and then there's the outer court. If you're standing on the tabernacle and you're looking at it from the outside, the only thing that you can see is the outer court. The only thing that you can see about me today is my outer court. That's the only thing that you can perceive with your five physical senses is my outer court. We are the temple of God, aren't we? Or the cathedral. But all you see is my temple. You see my outer court. So the outer court of the tabernacle corresponds to the body. The Holy of Holies corresponds with the spirit of man. Why? Because it is the Holy of Holies where the Spirit of God is at. God is not in the outer court. God is not in the holy place. God is in the Holy of Holies. Where does God live in you? Whoa. Where does God live in you? He doesn't live in your body per se. He doesn't live in your mind. He lives in your spirit. See, your spirit is like the Holy of Holies. Your mind, your will, your emotions, which is your soul, is like the outer court. And then the holy place, and then your body is like the outer court. Okay, I want to give you real quick the function of the spirit. Our human spirit is responsible for three things. Number one, the conscience. The conscience. Where does conscience come from? It's not a product of the flesh. The flesh has no conscience. The flesh has no conscience. If the flesh sees something, it wants it. Do you know why they at checkout stands that they put all of those weird magazines? Woman has three-headed baby. Or this star is something, and they put all that, and they put all of these little gadgets up there. They put all of the candies up there. You know, they put those Easter egg, what do they call those Easter egg? Cadbury, those Cadbury eggs at Easter. Does anybody like those besides me, those Cadbury eggs? Yeah, you devilish things, you. Those are sinful. Where do they put those? They put it by checkout. You're up there checking out and you're hungry and you look over there and you see those Cadbury eggs. Your flesh cannot resist Cadbury eggs. They appeal to the flesh. Flesh likes to indulge. It's not always profitable to indulge the flesh, is it? In fact, it's rarely profitable to indulge the flesh. The conscience is part of the work of the Spirit. It's part of the work of the Spirit. And then the next part is called communion or fellowship. How do we fellowship with God? We fellowship with God through the Spirit. You've never touched God with your hand. You've never encountered God on a mental level. You encounter God through your spirit. The Bible tells us that God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit. Not in body, but in spirit. We worship God in spirit and in truth. Then the third one is called intuition. Intuition. What is intuition? It's insight. Let me say something to you. There are things that your spirit knows that your head does not know. There are things that your spirit perceives and knows that your mind and your body does not know. Do you think that we need that in our lives? Some of the hugest decisions that we make, we need the input of the spiritual realm in those decisions. In fact, most of the decisions that we make, we need those kind of things. I've always thought it odd that we make a lot of our decisions when we're least prepared to make them. Like you're coming out of high school and you're going to college and they're asking you to declare a major. I can remember when I was out of high school, I wanted to be a butcher. I wanted to be a coach. There's several things that I wanted to be. I was enrolled in tool and die school. I was wanting to be a draftsman. I didn't know what I wanted to be. And here I am faced with all of these decisions about what am I going to do with my life? I didn't do any of those things. I went to Bible school instead. I'm glad I did. But I did not know. I could have used some spiritual insight in my life during that time to help me make that decision. And usually it's at that age when we choose a mate. Oh my. It's scary. It's scary being single. I feel for you folks that are single. That's a hard decision to make, is choosing a mate. And trying to balance attraction. You know, you want to be attracted to the person that you're married to, don't you? Don't you? This means yes. This means no. It doesn't matter. I have never heard anybody, you know what? I just want to be married. I don't care to who. I've never heard anybody say that. They don't even have to be attracted. I just want to be married. I've never heard anybody say that. But when you're dealing with the flesh, the desire, all of that, don't you think that we need some spiritual help where that's concerned? Some spiritual insight, some intuition? Just because he looks good or she looks good, sounds good, doesn't mean that they are good or that they're the right person? Intuition. That's part of the work of the Spirit in our life. So that's three areas of the Spirit that it does. Three areas, or we could say three compartments of the Spirit. Fellowship, intuition, and the other one was what? Conscience. What is conscience? I believe that when you do wrong, immediately you know it. What is that? That's your conscience. What does your conscience try to do? It tries to keep you in the parameters of God's will for your life. When you step out of God's will for your life, your conscience is saying, nope, 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 nope. Your flesh says, yes, yes, yes. Your conscience says, nope, nope, nope. You realize why there's a conflict in believers' lives? Unbelievers do not have this conflict. Why? They're dominated by the flesh and the mind. A person gets born again, all of a sudden they have a big conscience. Oh, I want to do that. Ooh, but I don't need to. But I want to, but I don't need to. I had somebody come to me one time and says, you know what? I sinned. And I feel so bad. And I said, good. What scares me is when somebody comes in and says, you know, they say this is sin, but it don't bother me. I'm thinking, uh-oh, we have a spiritual problem here. We have no conscience. The conscience is not at work here. There's a spiritual problem going on here. And that's where we need to begin to address the spiritual issues of our life. Am I right in my spirit? If I'm right in my spirit, then guess what? My conscience is going to be at work. When I sin, I know that I'm doing wrong. Okay, the function of the Spirit. We're going to quit. See where I'm at. Okay, good. Three things. Number one, to contain God. Where does God live? He lives in our spirit. He doesn't live in your soul. He doesn't live in your mind, will, and emotions. God is not an emotion. Let me say that again. God is not an emotion. Now, can we get emotional about God? Yes, but God is not an emotion. I've heard people say, you know, I just feel God in this place. Well, you're having an emotional reaction to something that you know in your spirit. Well, yeah, but look at here. God's all over me. No, that's a goosebump. That's a goosebump. Goosebumps are not God. I like goosebumps. Does anybody like goosebumps besides me? I like those goosey bumps. But they're not an indication. You know, I could walk up to somebody and say, you know what, you're such a lovely person. Your presence there's just a glow about your presence. And you could get all goosey bumped. Oh, thank you. Goosey, goosey, goosey. And I'd be lying like a dog. I'm trying to get your money. Or something else. Goosebumps are not indications of spiritual things. That's just a reaction to that. God is contained in your spirit. You're not aware in your body or your mind of that fellowship. It's a spiritual thing. So it contains God. And here's 2 Timothy 4:22 says, and the Lord be with your spirit. The Lord be with your spirit. He lives in your spirit. Number two is to contact God. To contact God. We quoted the scripture a while ago in John 4:24. God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truthfulness. We contact God through our spirit. Now, I can address God with my voice, but you can only contact God in the Spirit. Lord, I come into Your presence today. Well, I'm not in His presence. I'm in Your presence. So I'm not talking about my body. I'm not talking about my mind. I'm talking about my spirit. My spirit is in constant communion with God. Your spirit is in constant communion with God. And I want to say something very spiritual to you, if you'll listen, this sounds real Twilight Zone. God will talk to you in your spirit. God will talk to you in your spirit. I don't believe that God talks today. Well, then you don't understand the Bible. Now, I don't believe God tells me what color socks to wear. People get weird with stuff. And I'm not talking about weirdness. I'm just talking about sometimes God will say, do this. Or you'll sense something in your inside that doesn't line up with your thinking. Don't go there today. Go here. Pick up the phone and call so-and-so. That impression just comes to you. Pick up the phone, just out of the blue. Pick up the phone and call so-and-so. Send so-and-so a card. Do this. Do that. I believe that's your spirit and God's spirit in communion. We need to learn to act on those things. And sometimes we say, well, you know what? I might do that later. And then we wonder why God doesn't talk to us. Because when He talks to us, we don't listen. And I think all of us have been guilty of not following those impressions that come out of our spirit. We put them off, and we don't listen to them, and we don't follow them. Usually there's a reason why that needs to happen. Because God is trying to get to somebody through you. And do we want to be used by God? Do we need to use our time wisely? Okay? This is one way that we can do that. Because through your spirit, God, you can contact God and God can contact you. And God can lead you and guide you in your everyday life. And He'll do that if you'll let Him. Then the third thing is to receive God. To receive God or receive from God. John 3:6 says, that which is born of spirit is spirit. That which is born of spirit is spirit. We receive God and we receive from God through the Spirit. There are so many things that we can accomplish if we will be spirit-minded. Because the Spirit will direct many times in your life. And here's what He's trying to do. He's trying to get you to avoid some pitfalls in life. The enemy is a master of laying pitfalls for believers. There are times that, listen to me real carefully now, because this is going to apply to some of you. You get caught up in doing good stuff, but you're not doing God's stuff. You get caught up in doing good stuff, but you're not doing God's stuff. And you can get so busy doing good stuff that you're missing out on God's stuff. The greatest enemy to great is good. People will control your life. Satan will see that people will control your life if you react to everything that comes down the pike. Sometimes we need to be able to receive from God. And God says, no, don't go there. That's not profitable for you to go there. You don't understand that with your mind. You don't understand that in your understanding because your understanding says, I'm supposed to do that. But your spirit man says, no, avoid that. That's your intuition. Then there's times that the spirit man will lead us to do things that looks like it's not the thing to do. You know, Philip was in Samaria where revival was going on. I mean, the whole town was coming to Christ. The whole town was coming to Christ. He was in the middle of a revival. Wouldn't that be great to have a revival and just all of Batesville and all of Independence County start showing up and getting saved? And I mean, ooh, the move is on and we're having a time. And all of a sudden, Philip says, uh-oh, I got to go somewhere. And he goes down to this desert place. being led by the Spirit of God, being to a desert place away from the move of God, and ministers to one person. And guess what? He was directed by the Spirit to do that. It was the Ethiopian eunuch that he ministered to. And when he got ministered to, guess what? The Spirit of God just caught him away. And he is somewhere else. But sometimes we think, oh yeah, I need to be where the move is on. Maybe God calls you away from the move to go to minister to one person. See, God cares about the one as much as He cares about the many. And if we'll listen, guess what? We'll be able to minister to the multitude, but also to the single person that needs to be touched by God. Thank you, Alex. We really need to develop our spiritual man. We need to allow our spiritual man the place in our life that he needs, because he desires to use us so much for God's kingdom. Amen. All right, there's the function of the Spirit. Let's pray. How's that for a closing? Let's pray. I'm going to ask my